Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another show. This is the Bloody Knuckles Show. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are going back to back because we are back and we are on track. Like, we are Dr. Dre in the studio. And we're about to take out all these podcast snooty hoes. Yes, it's your two boys here to speak on basically the NFL, what's going down. We talked college football yesterday, but so much news that, you know, we haven't covered on the show as far as the NFL goes, that we will. Just basically where the NFL is at right now, a few teams that what we would do to fix them, and maybe talk, you know, the teams that need to make changes and the best teams in the league and kind of talk where the league is at. Just kind of freestyling on the NFL. We're also going to talk a little UFC. There's a little event this weekend. Shout out to Canada for showing up for, wasn't a bad card, but there wasn't that big, big match. But Max Holloway showed that he might be a star in the making. Get that dude to fight in Hawaii. He deserves it. He's a Hawaiian. He wants it. He is the new interim. I don't know how it works, but Jose Aldo's interim featherweight champion. So, to introduce my co-host with the most, it is the dude who introduced to the world butter and toast. It is the dude who plays on Power, the actor Ghost. It is the man with the most. It is the man that, when it comes to rapping, he could big pun him, but goddamn, he could punch him like Chael Sonnen. He's the dude, the youngin', and goddamn, y'all are so plain, because when it comes to this podcast shit, he's better than you like a rat beef when it comes to game. He is the dude, Nick Diaz, middle fingers up, don't give a fuck. He's got his numb chucks like that dude Norris. I mean, Chuck, it is Andrew motherfucking Meredith, the king of Rochester. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what it do? No, folks, this is not deja vu. We're coming right back at you with the part two. I mean, Ryan hit up, you know, me today, said, let's do another show. I was down for it right away. Funny note, so, you know, I got my birthday was on Friday, for those who care. Sadly, you know, I'm 27. It sucks, Ryan. It sucks realizing I'm only 3 years away from 30. And for the first time ever in my life, Ryan, I legit did not want to tell people how old I was turning. But, you know, I went over to my parents' house for a nice birthday dinner. You know, some nice big steaks, some filet mignon, baked potatoes. So I get back home around 8:15, and Ryan, you know, sometimes when you eat that real big meal,
kicking
my feet up, you know, turned on the barn burner, 10-second right now, Dallas Cowboys, that game against the New York Giants, which is turning out to be a pretty good game as we come down to the stretch, but I completely fell asleep. Luckily, Ryan called me at about 10:15 to see if I was still alive, down to do the show. The call woke me up. I was like, Jesus Christ, what happened?
Sadly, it happens on Sundays, man. It happens. Sunday is that.
I think it's Sunday night. I'm kind of upset about it, Ryan.
I passed out for a good 3 hours tonight at one point. I had to get myself up. And, Andrew, I've kind of seen it as I've gotten older. More and more, I feel like I have to take some sort of nap during the day, especially with the hard workouts. You know, if for the viewers, just to give you an insight on the world that is Ryan Edwards, and shout out to my boy, happy birthday. Glad he got a good meal. Gives me a vision of when we celebrated his birthday in Tallahassee and went to a Brazilian steakhouse and ate some fucking steaks and then did Brazilian jiu-jitsu against the hot waitresses. Yeah, it happened. But, you know, Andrew, I don't get to eat a lot. That's just part of my life. And when I do eat, I try to take advantage of it, but I basically live off some oatmeal. Every once in a while, you know, I'll eat something from my family's restaurant, my restaurant, my bar, but I just don't get to eat a lot. So today I treated myself to a McDonald's shake, and
ooh,
I felt like
so
I had a 5-course meal. I was out for 3 hours after. So just letting you know, I know how you're feeling, and for me it came from a McDouble and a motherfucking shake. You know it's bad for your body when you pass out for 3 hours after eating it. But Andrew, after a classic, which, you know, it's been very shitty, but a classic Walking Dead finale, they always do it. They have a shitty season and then kind of a good opening of, a good opening episode and then a good mid-season episode. I don't know. I don't like the direction sometimes that show goes. But I'm happy again, and I'm ready to get my Rick Grimes on and start this shit and kill it. So do you want to talk some UFC or some NFL first?
Yeah, let's just quit the UFC. You know, folks, we didn't talk UFC last night because when we did the show, the card was still finishing
and
up.
I'm going to give you time updates, Andrew, just so you know.
So, all right, yeah, good. So, very first thing we have to discuss is, you know, Max Holloway beats Anthony Pettis, third round technical knockout. Really shows how good Max Holloway is. And, you know, Conor McGregor, trust me, you know how we're always bringing up Conor McGregor, but this is the guy who beat this guy with a torn ACL, and we see how great Max Holloway is. Kind of just another testament to the man that is Conor McGregor. But, Ryan, so, double thing, I'm kind of going to throw a two-part to you right now, one on Max Holloway, one on Anthony Pettis. You can answer in whichever order, you know, you want to. First for Anthony Pettis, Ryan, what happened to this guy? Is he a victim of his own success? Did he get too cocky and confident? This is a man who won the belt, was voted on the Wheaties cover. He's the first mixed martial artist ever on the cover of a Wheatie box. Are we seeing the Wheaties curse? The guy's yet to win since. It's almost like a slap in the face. I mean, this is a huge blow for the UFC. Showtime was super popular. You know, no homo, but has the good looks. He could be a huge
marketable champ. Yes.
I mean, he had the Matrix kick. You know what I mean? One of the most exciting moves we've ever seen. Was
he's
going to
be a Hall of Famer at some point.
Yeah,
you know?
He was on that list. I mean, still, but has he even won a fight since then? And then, Ryan, on the flip side, though, with Max Holloway, this guy has destroyed the 145 competition outside of Conor McGregor. The guy is like 5'9", just way too big. You know what I mean? He just so big at 145. How are people going to compete with him? I don't see what Aldo's going to do. So, Ryan, what's going on with Pettis? A guy who had to move down in weight class, completely missed the weight cut, and still lost. And then on the flip side, Max Holloway, what do you see with this fight with Aldo? Why is he so good? Is he just a different breed? So let me get your quick breakdown of both fighters.
Andrew, Anthony Pettis, this weekend showed kind of why he hasn't succeeded like he should succeed. Because when you come in and you weren't even going to get the chance that you were going to get, and all of a sudden you get an interim belt thrown at you, you have to think at some point before that interim belt was thrown out there, Anthony Pettis just said, you know, before that was out there, maybe I'm going to come in 5 pounds overweight or something. To not make weight for a title fight is very few people have ever done it. And it's just kind of disgraceful. And I think it comes down to it's all in Anthony Pettis' head. I think, like you said, the success went to his head. I think if he hasn't done it by now, maybe it's time. He does have a great trainer, Duke Rufus, but they do overtrain from what I've heard. Maybe it's time for that Greg Jackson, you know, try to redo your time. But he's definitely not a 145-pounder. He did beat Charles Oliveira, or whatever his name is, but it was a sloppy fight. But we could see in his body he was trying to suck too much down. It was kind of Pettis' chance to, you know, let me get that quick title shot, get back in the starlight, and that's his problem. He's not like Donald Cerrone, who goes up to 170 and will fight for anybody, you know, and just wants to fight. Anthony Pettis dropped to 145 because he feels like he should be in championship fights. And right now, he is just not that caliber. So I think in his mind, he thinks he's better, and he's not performing basically to what he thinks he is. I think he needs to go back to the basics and forget about the Showtime kick and all that and really just take a deep look into his soul, because he's at that point, and we all remember the Joe Rogan, Brendan Schaub talk on the podcast where Rogan just trashed him, telling him to retire. It could get ugly for Anthony Pettis if he keeps fighting. We already saw he got TKO'd by, I know he's a tall guy, but Anthony Pettis is a smaller man in general as far as like muscle mass and stuff like that. But he got totally obliterated by Max Holloway. And, you know, I just feel like Anthony Pettis, he feels like he is a championship caliber fighter. Training in that way, I don't have the exact, like, no one's ever told me that trains with him. Yeah, but it's just how I feel. I feel like he was not prepared for this fight, and I feel like he was just trying to take the shortcut. He should try, you know, to grind his way back to the 155-pound division, but I just don't think it's there for him, Andrew. I think that him and his brother have kind of over, you know, too big of egos, and they need to drop down. Maybe sure. This will help him go back to 155 and, you know, maybe he can resurrect his career. But I feel like he needs to change camps and change the way he's training, because it's not getting it done. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine, right? I completely agree. You know, and part of the thing, too, was the weight cut too much for Anthony? You know what I mean? It's the guy
way
who, you
much.
Know, you know, I feel like he needs to be at 155, and him not wanting to fight at 155, right?
If anything, these days you have to go up in weight. I mean, that's how it is with the weight restrictions, and you can't dehydrate yourself anymore. You don't have the IV bags. He would be a fast 170-pounder, put on muscle like Donald Cerrone did, but he tried to do the opposite to get the quick route. And I just don't see him getting a lot of victories in really any of the divisions, especially 145, because he can't make weight.
Yeah, and I think he may have, you know, it makes me think of this just because I was watching the Epic 30 for 30 last night. Ryan told me about it. Catholics versus convicts in Notre Dame.
Classic.
But Lou Holtz said this. It was pretty good. You know, if they try, I think he flinched, as meaning Lou Holtz says, he tried a, you know, it was when Miami ran a fake punt. And a lot of days back then, you know, if they ran a fake play, the other team perceives that they can't beat you head up. So they flinched. And I think it's a flinch in his confidence, the fact that he moved down in weight. These fighters are too big. I can't compete with the 155-pound talent. I need to move down to, you know, after getting hit by RDA, he was like, he's 155ers, hit too hard. I need to move down in weight. And I think that the show, his ego, I don't know if he has enough faith in himself, but, you know, he needs to make a move, Ryan, something with his training camp, because it really is mind-boggling. The athleticism is there. You know, he's still in his prime, you know, and it's just like confidence. Does he not have the confidence?
Maybe he's taking too much damage, Andrew. Maybe that's it. Maybe his athleticism is going because of damage.
He can't take a punch anymore, and it's sad. But Ryan, on the flip side, Max Holloway. Let me get the breakdown of him. Why is he so great?
Max Holloway is the exact opposite of Anthony Pettis. You know, Anthony Pettis came in, I believe, to MMA as kind of a flashy kickboxer. And he built himself off of that. And, you know, he got kind of a superstardom really quick. And he got the Weedy Box and all that stuff, the Weedy Box curse and all that, which I think Bruce Jenner was on it. We see the curse, the Kardashian curse too. But anyway, Max Holloway, stay away from Kardashians. But I think Max Holloway, in my view, just from a spectator, He was a piece of clay, 21 years old, Conor McGregor, just a guy with raw toughness. He has that BJ Penn Hawaiian toughness in him, and he could take damage. The only guy to really survive with Conor McGregor. I know Conor was hurt, but he went all three rounds, and he was only 21. And now he's 25 years old. He's had 9 fights, and out of all the guys at 145 who've been bitching and moaning, Jose Aldo won't even fight. Because of Conor McGregor, we heard Frankie Edgar bitching and moaning. Max Holloway, you never heard him really bitching and moaning. He just went out there and fought, and he killed people. And that's what he's done. This piece of clay has become great at everything, and he has a unique thing at his weight class, which he makes comfortably. It's officially like his weight class because his body is so comfortable there. And he's so big for that division, kind of like Anthony Rumble Johnson, you know, not as much power, of course, but he has a unique ability with his size, his length, that makes him so special at that weight class. And this guy, you know, because Hawaiians love MMA so much, we saw it with BJ Penn, he could be molded into a star, and he's following the right tracks. You know, the Where Is Aldo campaign, which was perfectly well done, you know, calling out Aldo after the fight. Everything he's doing now is perfect. He worked his way up 9 fights just to get this fight, which wasn't even going to be a title fight. But this guy has the boxing ability, kickboxing ability, and the ground ability. And we saw it. You know, Anthony Pettis, Eddie Alvarez, I believe, went all 3 rounds with him. I mean, Max Holloway finished him in the 3rd round. He's a finisher. He's a guy that can grapple. He can do everything. And he's not letting it go to his head. But now I believe he has a purpose. You know, he's not calling out Conor McGregor. He's not looking for that giant money fight. He wants Jose Aldo. He wants the guy that's officially at 145 and the guy that, you know, he wants to take the crown from Aldo because he knows that's the realistic fight. I just think he has a great head on his shoulders. The other fighters would have called out Conor McGregor. Max Holloway, because of the head on his shoulders, I think he knew the fight to call. And we might see it in Brooklyn, Andrew, UFC 208.
Ryan, I love that breakdown. I should say, too, it's very refreshing in this sport, especially when you see, you know, the trends have been going. Everyone wants to fight Conor McGregor, especially to the people that have lost to him before. And it's just very refreshing to see, you know, someone not bitching and moaning and whining that's previously lost to McGregor. Ryan, that's going to be an epic fight. I think this would be a great fight for UFC to have in Brooklyn. Look, they've been looking, you know, we've been wondering with, you know, Conor McGregor taking his hiatus, what's transpired with Ronda, you know, what's transpired with John Jones. You see Anderson at the tail end of his career. DC, for some reason, just cannot get that popular because how he fights. He's just too boring. Actually, after seeing DC cop out against Anderson, a lot of people
lost respect
for him, how he fought Anderson. Ryan, in Brooklyn, this is Max Holloway with his potential, all his fights that he's won. And honestly, Ryan, when's the next time you're going to see a fighter go on a 9-fight winning streak and not bitch and whine about getting the belt and getting a title shot? That's another very refreshing thing. But, Ryan, they have a chance with Max Holloway, with his age, with his fighting style, with who he's beaten, to make the next great star.
They kind of have a second chance. You know, they screwed up promoting Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
And Max Holloway reminds me of that young, hungry Aldo. But now, you know, the UFC was planning on building him into their Manny Pacquiao, Jose Aldo. And it never happened because Jose Aldo didn't want to play the game. But Max Holloway, he's playing the game. He probably has the better personality. He finishes people, and now the UFC has a true chance of a guy who's only 25 years old. If he can get past Aldo, which is always a tough task, then we might see if they can actually, if the USR is putting him as the main event, it's risky. I mean, but I think the people in New York are going to show up at this point for any UFC, And I think they just
have
put
a strong undercard, though. But
yeah,
that's...
it has to have a strong undercard, and maybe even, you know, like Cormier Rumble as the co-main event or the main event, or
maybe it'll
be
Ronda's away party, and you have that as the undercard.
Well, Ronda's the next UFC.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, so that's why she wouldn't be on that. But maybe Stephen Thompson versus Woodley too. You can always go with JJ. You know, she's Polish. There's a lot of Polish people in Brooklyn that will come out and follow her. You know, the UFC loves pushing the women's fighters in bigger cards. And, you know, Jose Aldo does have a decent following, and I think it could be a suitable main event. I mean, if you look at boxing and you just put a guy like Max Holloway in, you know, replace him with a boxer kind of like him, and then put a legend, I would say Jose Aldo is, but a guy that never really sold much, maybe like a Marquez, they would be the main event in Brooklyn. But how the UFC has to do it different is they have to stack the card up with fights, like kind of like they did in Toronto, like the Cerrone fight was entertaining, and the Cub Swanson, supposedly the fight of the year with the Choi. But they just have to stack it with even more people. And that's what you might need to do with Max Holloway. You know, maybe the next fight he's on Fox and you just keep stacking his cards until finally people start following. Maybe give him that Hawaii card. You know, have BJ Penn on it as a retirement fight, at some, you know, on that card. You know, show the people the following he has in Hawaii, and maybe that's the way you can build another star. So Dana White, I know you listen all the time. Follow the words I'm saying. This is how you build Max Holloway up. Other than putting him on a card with Conor McGregor as the main event, but he'll still get overshadowed in that card. So maybe try a different approach and just stack cards under Max Holloway. But Jose Aldo is the guy at this point. You know, Pettis was a big name. There's not a lot at 145 that, you know, he can main event a pay-per-view like Brooklyn, and Jose Aldo's the guy. Now, we need Jose Aldo to play the game and come out and accept this fight, Andrew. Where is Aldo? That's all I got to say. Show up, respond, stop bitching about McGregor. You have an official fucking hungry contender that's calling you out and wants a piece of that ass. So show us all you still have balls, Jose Aldo.
Yeah, definitely, Ryan. And, I mean, you also have to think about it, too. Jose Aldo's mind should not be on Conor McGregor. I mean, Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor officially moved up to 155 and relinquished.
He's done with 145.
He's done with it. You had your opportunity and lost. If you want to fight him again down the road, get a couple other fights under your belt, you know, but you're going to have to move. You're going to have to move up to 155.
Yeah, if he wants him so bad, go up to 155.
And honestly, I think it might be better for Jose Aldo to try and put that fight behind him, start looking at some fresher opponents, because Aldo, you need something to get back on track. You know what I mean? He needs another fight, try and get another streak going. But Ryan, really quick,
yeah.
I did want to say this, and this is something the UFC always whiffs on.
We're at about 20 mark.
All right, real quick, last thing I want to say about this before we maybe do official prediction. Max Holloway, the UFC needs to take this time and promote all of his previous fights.
Oh, yeah, that's what they need Fox for.
You know, she'll throw them on Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, but start, you know, when you're playing all the cards, start throwing the Max Holloway fights on there so people can see this kind of talent.
How many of his 9 fight wins have you seen? I haven't seen a lot.
Not many, maybe 4 at most.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need Fox to start putting together profiles of fighters, you know, follow them around. I know they have the YouTube series. It's great embedded, but Fox needs to do more. We've sharpened on this a lot in the past. But they need to do more in building these fighters.
Ryan, real quick, last thing, you know, before we move on, I do want to say, if that fight does happen, Ryan, I'm going with Max Holloway, and I don't even know if it's going to be close. Max Holloway's at the peak of his game. Jose's all those on the downside, but really for me what it breaks down to is Max Holloway's size and toughness he's just so big, so much bigger than Aldo. Aldo might be able to, you know, get up with his quickness. He's going to have to use his quickness and stuff. But in my opinion, Max Holloway, too big, too tough. I think he beats Aldo, and I think this is kind of the end of Jose Aldo and the beginning of what could be the UFC's next big star.
Yeah, I think Jose Aldo needs this fight to re-solidify himself after all the retirement talk and all that. And, you know, he finally has, other than Conor McGregor, who finished him so quick, he has another young, hungry guy that isn't a guaranteed fight for him to win. It's a fight where people are very interested in seeing. And that's what Jose Aldo truly needs. He needs a competitor. And Aldo did, he did, you know, I thought Aldo was done with MMA, but I did see how he handled Frankie Edgar the second time. And Edgar was on such a good run. So it's hard for me to doubt Jose Aldo. I think it's going to be a war. As long as Jose Aldo's mind is in it and there's a lot of pent-up aggression there, that's where he needs to take it out. But I think it would be a five-round epic war in which Max Holloway would come out, maybe, you know, working takedowns and just getting the decision overall, maybe a knockdown here and there. But I do think it would be an epic war. Andrew, we have an all year, well, we have an all in our BK show seasons where we kind of take time off and come back. Talk a lot about the National Football League. I don't know if we've talked about it since we did like a half preview, which we never got to finish. I think we might have finished it, but we had some bad predictions, I got to admit, when I looked back. Except me with Kansas City. I did hype them up from the beginning, but not to this level, maybe. Andrew, with Kansas City beating Oakland in another, you know, I'm loving these games in the snow, and I'm loving how we, every once in a while on Thursday night, I hope they don't get rid of it, because every once in a while you get to see rivals go at it. I know it was a bad game, but it's kind of a treat always to see, like, Kansas City-Denver play or Kansas City-Oakland.
It's a nice treat on Thursday night leading up to the weekend. The football
just like
game.
It's kind of a treat on a Sunday night to see the Giants. And the last I saw that game, Odell Beckham had a special.
Giants were up 10-7 with 3 minutes left. I'm going to look at the score now. But let's wait to talk about that.
That because I have a big question when it comes to that game. But, Andrew, I got to say this. As far as the NFL right now, looking at the AFC, the Patriots lost Gronkowski. We saw Kansas City with three, maybe more than three, but these three last wins were so big for them, beating Denver in a classic, beating Oakland and going on the road and beating Atlanta. They finally found that receiving threat as long as Macklin stays healthy on the other side with Kelce, who's emerged. Maybe it was the dating show Kelce did where he gets to pick from 50 girls, but he's playing like Gronkowski out there. And Kansas City has an epic defense, but they're not the only team out there. We thought this was a one-team race at one point with the Patriots. Who do you see in the AFC right now as the top three teams that could really knock them off, in your opinion?
Let's see. Well, person that who can knock off Kansas City.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said the teams that can knock off Kansas City.
No, teams that can knock off the Patriots from their perch on top of the AFC in the playoffs.
Patriots pretty open the AFC. Number one, I have to say, I feel like they're always winning this matchup too, but I know we looked so-so today, Big Ben did, but number one has to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Too loaded.
That team is fully healthy, there's just way, way, way too much talent
Man, Bell and Brown are too good.
Way too much. And the defense, Ryan, we finally
coming together.
The defense and secondary playing good. I know Tomlin usually gets out-coached in that matchup, but, however, the defense is just way too good, and number one has to be Steelers. Number two, a team you just mentioned, the Kansas City Chiefs.
they have played unreal offense. I mean, defensively, they have been quite amazing. And they've been getting just enough on the offensive end to keep it rolling. Ryan, I am very interested to see how this playoff, you know, works out. Because, you know, when you get in the playoffs, I don't care. The most important commodity is a good quarterback that can win you games.
And home field advantage.
And home field advantage. But having an elite quarterback, really, you know, those are the teams that always, you know, win it all every year. I'm trying to remember the last team we saw win it all without an elite quarterback.
Trent Dilfer?
You know, the Bucs, though, with Brad Johnson.
Eli Manning, maybe?
Yeah, but Eli's pretty elite. He gets hated on.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there. He turns the ball over a lot, but he's up there for sure.
However, how will the Kansas City perform? But they have the defense to do it. Number three, I'm going for a tie. The Denver Broncos, they've had their number with their defense. If they can, you know, start hitting on cylinders on offenses up there. And I got to say, the team I predicted to be good in the show – but not this good. The Oakland Raiders, such a great young team. You know, they did lose a heartbreaking game with Khalil Mack, with David Carr, you know, rebreathing, you know, the family back again. The Oakland Raiders are a very good team with Riverboat Jack, you know, down there making it tough. He's a great coach, going for it all. So those are the teams I can see knocking off the Patriots. The Patriots are weak, you know. I was willing to say, you know, a couple
not
weeks
a great
ago,
tea.
You know, the Patriots are going to win it all again. However, with all their injuries and who they have, the weapons they have for Brady, it's kind of scary. Their defense has been up and down. However, Ryan, the Patriots, if they do, now they're number one. If they win tomorrow night with home field advantage, they're going to be tough to beat. They're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. Andrew, I got to say, one thing about the Patriots, you know, I was in awe of them all season. I even finally knelt down and said, Brady is the king. He's the best of all time at one point. And I still think that,
yeah.
You know, that system does make quarterbacks better. But I don't know if that team, because Gronkowski is so key because he was their deep threat. It's very weird to say it, but tight ends have become deep threats in such a mismatch. And they were depending so much on that Gronkowski-Bennett combo. And now with Edelman being the number one guy, I don't know if, you know, Super Bowl-wise, without Gronkowski, you can win it. Without, you know, LeGarrette Blount can get it done, but he might be unreliable against some of the better defenses in the AFC. And to throw it back out there, you know, their defense is not very good. It does show up in some big games. Yeah, their defense, you know, it gives up a lot of plays throughout the year. I don't know if they're going to clamp down in the playoffs. They started out strong, but their defense has definitely shown signs of weakness. So the Patriots, there's a lot of things to not like about them, but they do still have King Brady. It's not like a guarantee like LeBron, but it's always good to have the best quarterback in the division by far, especially this year with Peyton gone. There's just the teams against them are more defensive oriented, except Derek Carr, but he's still a young quarterback. Andrew, on the flip side in the NFC, I got the big question of the night to ask. I'll put my input on it too. But if the Cowboys go on and lose this game, is this proof that when it comes down to the playoff time, and this is almost playoff football at this point, pretty much playoff football at this point, is this proof that maybe Dak is a little too, you know, too young maybe, and maybe it's time for a little Romo action with that team with Ezekiel Elliott? Would they be better off starting Romo now and trying to make a run with him in the playoffs? Because, you know, Dak could have that horrible game. And we haven't got to see Romo with this new weapon, Ezekiel Elliott, and this team playing how they are.
Ryan, that's a good question. Now, the Cowboys did officially lose this game. On the road, facing a New York team that had to win. They're winning 7-3, and then, in my opinion, the best skill player in college or in the NFL.
But that team got manhandled by Pittsburgh last week.
And yeah, they're, you know, just at home, a very hungry team and a must-win game. And the one thing I will say this, go to this game. This is not the same Giants defense. The Giants have one of the best defenses in the
league.
Oh,
they spent a ton of money on that defense.
It's showing. Number one of the number one rushing defense, passing defense, Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, Janoris Jenkins, and Ryan. Going into this game, I had a feeling they have the number one rush defense, and that's been my biggest question for the Dallas Cowboys, Ryan. What happens when Zeke gets taken away?
Does that mean it's Romo time at that point?
It's Romo time. I know Dak has had such a great season, and when you look at Tony Romo, this is a guy who historically has struggled in December in the playoffs, and this could be, you know, his last race. It's just tough because I can see it because it's not like Dak is going out there and, you know, putting up these, you know, video game-type numbers. However, he has came through with some very clutch drives to win games, you know, close games. He came up big at the end in a lot of games, getting clutch conversions. They couldn't do it tonight. He came close. Dez Bryant should have caught the pass. It wasn't a good pass. Went through
Dez.
He did
throw the pick that led him to touchdown, too, though.
That is true. However, 10-7 game, I wouldn't be ready to pull the plug on him just yet after this game. However, Ryan, you know, a good point you bring up, if you're thinking about making the move to Tony Romo, obviously you don't want his first start to be in the postseason, you know, with no, you know, playing time this whole entire year, Ryan. So that's tough. I do have to say this. Give Dak another start. I don't exactly know off the top of my head who they play next week. But, you know, if they come out next week, Dak plays terrible again, and they lose, you might want to think about it. It's just so hard to pull the reins of a quarterback who has led his team to a 10-2 record, 11-2 record. You know what I mean? He's been amazing this year because they lose.
Yeah.
Like game down the stretch. But however, Ryan, end of the season, postseason football, those windows get smaller and smaller. You start having to lead your wide receivers open, and you do want a quarterback in there with playoff game experience. And Ryan, we've seen it. Look at the Carolina Panthers. Just because you were good one year in the NFL certainly does not mean you're going to be good next year. And Dallas has to be successful this year. You know, if they can't capitalize this year, who's to say in a very tough division that they're going to be 10-2 next year? So, Dak, I know they lost to the one team that they lost to earlier this year, but I'm not ready to pull it out just yet. And Ryan, I do have to say this, because this win makes what? The Giants 9-4 now? Dallas has to be very careful. You know, they have two losses. There's three games left to play. You think, what if you drop two of these next three and you all of a sudden don't get home field advantage anymore? You don't even win the division anymore.
Well, they clinched the division, or they clinched the playoff spot or something along those lines.
I don't know if they've clinched the division yet.
I think they clinched the NFC East, unless maybe if the Giants I mean, I don't know if the math adds up.
The tiebreaker against them? Did they beat them?
There's three games left, or four games. I think Dallas clinched it, but they're close to almost even clinching the first round bye.
I think they clinched the playoff spot.
They're definitely in the playoffs, but here's the thing with me, with the Cowboys, I definitely agree with you. It's definitely not Romo time. Dak has been way too good this year. Can't pull him up one star. It doesn't help that the owner came out this week, Jerry Jones, once again fucking things up and saying that Romo is going to be part of the Super Bowl run and was very vague about it. You can't say stuff like that when you have a rookie quarterback. You're going to get into his mind, and he's done it all year. I know he supported Dak, but he's also now kind of, you know, supporting Romo. So, it just doesn't make much sense to me. Jerry Jones needs to keep his mouth shut. He's always sticking his fucking big nose in there. Just run Jerry World and stop with the bullshit. Get a UFC in Dallas Stadium already. But as far as the Cowboys go, I think it's the next two games. Wow. If they drop basically this game, and then they drop two games in a row. I think you don't pull them if they lose next week. But if they lose the week after that, then you got to start thinking, because they might be losing their home field advantage. But I think Dak is all right as long as they have the playoffs in Cowboy Stadium. That's the key. You don't want them going on the road, especially to Seattle or somewhere else, and you don't want them losing the division, especially to the Giants. But I think you got to keep Dak in there, and you got to roll with it until, you know, all things fall apart. And that hasn't happened yet. They just lost a tough divisional game. It happens in the NFL. I mean, they weren't going to win out. Maybe losing is better for them at this point, but their defense is still showing that it's elite, and they're an elite team. A couple different plays in that game, and the Cowboys still win. But, Andrew, at this point, who do you think, real quickly, is a better competitor to the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, the Seattle Seahawks, the Detroit Lions, or the New York Giants if they make the playoffs? I'm going to go on record and say Seattle, because they've proved in the games that defense is too good.
Yeah, Seattle is up there, but I'm going to have to say, to keep it different, the New York Football Giants, I'm going to give it to the team that has beaten them twice already this year, and the Giants play exactly, you know, the Giants are like the worst matchup Dallas can ask for, with their number one rushing defense, completely take away Ezekiel Elliott. And, I mean, honestly, Seattle is playing really bad football right now. They just got mollywhomped by Green Bay. Earl Thomas, broken leg, huge. That was huge for them, losing Earl Thomas. The Legion of Boom is hurt right now. But, granted, like you said, when they get the playoffs, you know, who knows, but they don't have a strong running game right now, and Seattle is kind of in shambles. They need to figure something out these next 3 weeks. But I'm going to say the Giants, just because they've already beaten them twice this year. The Lions, you know, a good team right now. We were talking about them last night.
I'm
but
thinking
still,
they're in
just,
the playoffs.
They have to show me. I'm not going to expect them to win. They have to show me.
I agree with that. I think if, like, Dallas catches them in the first round, they're the kind of team where Matthew Stafford can score a lot of points, and maybe that will kind of shake Dak. That's why I kind of threw them in there. But, Andrew, let's both get our thoughts of the week on the NFL. I'll start, and I'm going to start with something dear to your heart. My thought of the week is Rex Ryan and Tyrod Taylor got to go. This ain't working in Buffalo. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Bums. Fucking bums.
Yeah, just idiots. I mean, Rex Ryan, he's too conservative. I watched the whole game today against Pittsburgh. First off, his defense was getting trashed. I know, you know, Big Ben, they got the turnovers, but Big Ben handed him the ball, and they still couldn't do anything. Tyrod, because he wasn't giving. Rex is so scared of Tyrod failing, he's not letting him attempt to succeed, because he's not letting him, like last year when Tyrod started throwing the ball downfield and Sammy Watkins became one of the best receivers in the country, or, you know, in the NFL. You know, Buffalo has so many weapons. They have an epic weapon at tight end. They have three weapons at receiver. They have Shady McCoy. It's just too conservative. You know, even on the goal line, they're always conservative. They never score. I just think he's been holding back Tyrod. Rex needs to go. He needs to be in college football. I think that's where he's more fit. He's really screwed up two New York franchises at this point, to a point where it's going to be hard to recover. And if I'm Buffalo, I'm trying to get an offensive mastermind like Josh McDaniels from the Patriots. Give him a second chance at a head coaching job. He's an in-division rival. And I'm trying to get a veteran quarterback like Romo and maybe draft a quarterback for the future. Real quick, Andrew, 1 minute, your thought of the week.
My thought of the week, real quick, is look out. Aaron Rodgers is hot. The Packers are hot. This is a team we've all kind of forgotten about. Aaron Rodgers is playing some of the best football of his career with the postseason. So look out, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.